Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, greetings. Welcome to another fantastic show on improving, repairing, and preparing for marriages. And this is part 18. Believe that or not, 18. I am Nazim Rashid. Nazim Rashid, author, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. Yes, 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 we've had a great time with this series. And like I always say, I encourage you all to go back into the archives by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Imam Alfred. Again, /Imam Alfred. Scroll down, and when you see the improving, repairing, and preparing for marriages, click on them, and slowly download them all into your own personal library. Absolutely. This is valuable information. As you know, we need to have it. You know what the divorce rate is right now? It's much higher than those who are staying in relationships, staying in marriages. Why is that? Ask yourself that. Why aren't more people staying married? Getting married, first of all, and staying married. Now, beyond that, staying in a happy, well, happy, healthy now, fantastic, joyous marriage. Not just being married, not just having a piece of paper saying y'all married. No, 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 that doesn't count. Happy, wonderful marriage where you feel good. You feel good about the unit that you are a part of. The unit. And that's one thing that a lot of us don't understand in marriages. When you get married, you are part of a unit. So the decisions that you make, the mindset has to be for the unit. What's good for the unit? Is this decision helping the unit or hurting the unit? That's very important. We can no longer have the single mindset that we are so used to having. Yes, having things your way, being like Burger King, or I believe it's Burger King. Having things your way. No, 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 no. That's over with. That's gone. When you're married, it's all about the unit. What is good for the unit? You see, when you're looking for a house, what's good for the unit? When you're looking for a car, what's good for the unit? Trying to change jobs and locations, what's good for the unit? When you're grocery shopping, you got to keep everybody's interest in mind. It's the same thing. Have the unit in mind always. And as you're doing that, your mate will fall more in love with you. She'll respect you more. And if you're the man, she'll respect you more as the provider and maintainer. You see? She knows that you have her back. She trusts you. Yeah. Absolutely. So this is very important. This is why we're doing this. Very important to have this. All right, now before I start where we left off last week, I always wanted to let you know how you can get this book Reconnected. If you have a Barnes & Noble close by, you can go there. They might have it on the shelf. If not, they can order it for you. You can go online to barnesandnoble.com, get the paperback version, 412 pages and 14 chapters. You can get it that way. You can get it in the ebook format if you have the Nook or the Kindle. See, on Amazon, same thing. A lot of times they have sales. You can get a book at a cheaper cost there. Yeah. 14 pages, 14 chapters, 412 pages. Pretty thick book. And you can go to my site, www.cloudsofabundance.com. Again, cloudsofabundance.com. Absolutely. Okay, got that? All right, very important. We need these tools. This is the basic human manual. You see, basic. My next book is going to be a little more advanced. See? But we need a basic human manual because we always are tripping ourselves up, fall into you know, things we shouldn't fall into. We need to know how to get back up. All right, here we go to the chapter of names. This is also the steps you have to take in order to become that mentor to the self you once were. Forgiveness, first. Validation, second. How many of you had great validation when you were young? And like I've always said before, I go always back into childhood development because you have to know how you're trained, you know, all that produced the person you are now, you see. And so you're looking at getting to marriages, all that plays a part. It's all related. So were you validated? And do you validate others? Very, very important. Third, self-esteem. Self-esteem. Do you feel good about the self you are right now? Do you feel good about what God has created within you? Man, visualization is next. Are you a great visualizer, dreamer? Huh? Can you create images in your mind that will see you as a producer? Very productive. Next is self-image. What kind of image do you have of yourself? Whatever you're living now is based on the image you have of yourself, by the way. Yeah. So we co-create ourselves whether you know it or not. It's best to do it consciously instead of unconsciously. Next, communication and listening skills. A lot of us have real issues in this area. Oh, yeah, that by itself can break up marriages. You know, people not listening. You know, a lot of times it's the brothers who aren't listening. They're poor listeners, you see. Yeah. So it's very important to understand there's a checklist. There's a checklist to see if you're a good listener or not. Yeah, that's important. Next is optimism. Optimism. You know, is the glass going up or is the water in the glass going up or is it going down? You know about that, half full, half empty. Huh? Do you see good coming to you on a regular basis? I don't care how many pitfalls you run into. You know, your bills are piling up and the baby needs shoes and a wife wants more, a husband wants more. And it's layers and layers and layers of problems and doom and responsibilities. You can't see any optimism. Huh? There's a way to see it anyway. Huh? Gratitude is next. How grateful are we? Before our feet hit the floor in the morning, we should be grateful. Putting out gratitude statements. Because you didn't have to wake up. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. And, you know, for the Muslims out there, we have a dua we say as soon as we wake up. You know, thank God for resurrecting me from the dead state of sleep. Absolutely. What's after that? Faith. Faith. How much faith do you have? Huh? Do you know that we are dependent on what we don't see, not what we do see? Because what we do see is only an illusion. Yes. Faith. Next is spirituality. How are we connected consciously to God? Connected. And we go by, you know, we have 99 attributes we can look at and ask ourselves, a lot of those we can reflect in our lives. Are we doing it? Are we doing it? What's after that? Attachments, codependency, and addictions. You know, we're living, you know, in a bad way a lot of times because we carry things on our back, carry things from the past that are preventing us from having the life we say we want. We're carrying baggage. Yeah. Codependency, you know, are you enabling someone who just doesn't need to be enabled, holding up an alcoholic or an abuser? Or are you the abuser? You got addictions you're dealing with? Why are you doing it? You see? That's the next one. 12 principles of recovery. Yeah. And we're going to that right now with this marriage series. Yeah. There are 12 principles, similar to the 12 steps, but quite different. Quite different. That's important. That's in there. Identifying and managing emotions. A lot of us have issues with anger management. And just having a check on our emotions in general. We need to know when things start to flare up within us. See, if we're getting off track, if our emotions are starting to lead us down a path that we do not want to be on. Yeah. Learning how the brain works. What part of the brain does this and does that? We got a mammalian brain, you know. You got the prefrontal cortex. Yeah, reptilian brain. Yeah, that's explained there. That's explained there for sure. Yeah. All right. And the last, how to be the mentor to your child. So how we can go back in time and change the feelings of what happened in those past events or with those certain people back there that hurt us, that made us feel bad. There's a way you can talk to your younger self. And I talk about this. But in order to go back and give to the self you once were, you got to go through these other steps, these 13 steps beforehand. Yeah. So you can become the mentor to the self you once were. I say get those little pictures of yourself when you were like 5, 6, 8 years old or so. Cut them out so you just see the head and make sure the eyes are looking at the camera so you can look right into those eyes and send love into those eyes. That's how we start a process. Start loving that young self. Start loving your child self. Now, this will start a process to become the mentor to your child self. Okay? All right. There you go. All right. So, and you can always email me at nrbookclub@gmail.com. nrbookclub@gmail.com. Okay? All right. Wonderful. All right. Now, last week, we were talking about the sixth principle, which says, of recovery, which says, we are entirely ready after asking God for right guidance to have God remove all our defects of character. Now, remember we talked about defects of character like jealousy and hatred and resentment and rage and self-pity and selfishness and perfectionism, being phony and false pride, all those things? Yeah. All those things get in the way of marriages, for sure. And sisters, if you think about getting married, you have a fiance, you know, please have him read this, and you do it too. Yeah, because it's important to go into a marriage with a nice, clean, healthy slate. Because if you don't, you're bringing all that baggage, all those voices from the past, all those things, you know, before into the marriage, and you become married to that too. Yeah. You're married to the two wives. You're married to the one you have and the one who comprised your past there, which is hurt, you know, and bad feelings. And so, you have a problem there. So make sure you go in there with a clean slate. That's what we're doing now. So I'm going to recap. We're going over the sixth principle as it affects marriages, and we can kind of take it from there, all right? Now, a lot of you always call in, which I love it. Praise God. And if you want to ask a question or be a part of the discussion, just hit the number one on your telephone pad, and I will bring you right in, okay? All right. Now, the sixth principle, again, says, we are entirely ready after asking God for right guidance to have God remove all our defects of character. You need to have that before. Now, even after marriage, you can clean up now. That's why counselors are so important. There's nothing wrong going to a counselor. We all need help. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. You see? Yeah. Now, as addicts and abusers, you see, we were stubborn, strong-willed people. Now, in the business world, these traits can give us the focus necessary to succeed. Yeah, focus necessary to succeed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Refusing to give up in the worst of times often leads us past obstacles that lie between failure and success. However, an unwillingness to let go in our personal lives can stunt our spiritual growth. For so long, we ingested chemicals that were destroying our lives. Hear this now. This is also true for those of us who have allowed the spirit of dominance over others to reside in our souls, thus becoming the director of our lives. Please hear this. Defying our instinctive desire for self-preservation, we seem to self-destruct. Oh, yeah. Here, our powerful instinct to live begins to cooperate with God's ability to grant us a new life. We were not created to destroy ourselves with intoxicants and cigarettes and violent mindsets, but we're instead given natural instincts to cherish life in service to God and humanity. We were created in the most excellent mode. Don't you know that? That's in our scripture too. In the most excellent mode. There are no faults there. There's no grade B mode, C mode, a D mode. Most excellent mode. Every worthwhile goal in life is achieved after careful, meticulous preparation. If your goal is to win the big race, in the Olympic competition, let's say, there will be several things on your to-do list. Isn't that right? You have to see yourself as a winner, crossing the finish line way ahead of the pack. You have to be willing to go through hours and hours of exercising, stretching, special deep breathing, running for miles, and diet strictness. Yeah. You have to be uncompromising in your commitment to your preparation and goal. You have to feel the new you, not the old you, the new you evolving from within and becoming one with this new spirit. You have to welcome this transformation process with open arms and a reception that is strongly desired and demonstrated in the new spirit that you now carry about you. Yeah. So you have to have the same mindset toward your goal of a new life. This new life of sobriety, health, balance, empathy, compassion towards self and others can and will be attainable. Hear this. In order to receive this new life, you have to be entirely, not half-heartedly, ready to let God transform you into a completely new creature. See? You have to completely bear your soul to God and say, "Here I am, O God. I am ready to receive any and all good that you have for me." Just like Moses. Remember Moses? Oh, yeah. "I know that no good exists but your good. There is no help except by and through you. The only real reality is your reality. No one and nothing can heal except you. My new life is the life that you have prescribed for me. My burden can only be lifted by you and you alone. My soul belongs to you, and I commit my soul to your service. It is not my will, but your will that shall be done in my life. Here I am for you, O Allah." Oh, God. No, I keep forgetting I'm talking to more than just Muslims out here. Yeah. "Here I am for you." Isn't that a great prayer? Isn't that? Yeah. You know, there is so much anxiety and patience with yourself and a sense of mistrust of yourself that you hesitate in this process. Don't you know, a lot of us, we don't trust ourselves. Isn't that something? Now, I mentioned this many times before. I'll say it again. I have to say it again because, you know, this is what we're dealing with. When you say, "I believe in myself," or you hear others say, "Just believe in yourself," my question is, which self are they talking about? Which self? The lying self? Conniving self? Adulterous self? Criminal self? Thieving self? Assault of self? Addicted self? Codependency self? Enraged self? Self-centered self? Which self are you talking about? Yeah, which stuff are we talking about? Yeah. So it's very important to understand. You know? Yeah, for sure. Very important. So we have to keep this in mind. So when I am saying we mistrust ourselves, we're looking at a pattern where you knew you could not be trusted. So we're talking about the lower self here. Yeah. I wouldn't trust that self either. I wouldn't trust my lower self. I know what my lower self has done. I did drugs. I dealt drugs. I used drugs. Huh? Womanizing. Ego-centered life. I wouldn't trust that self either. And you shouldn't either. So, since we're so familiar with this self, when I say that you should start trusting ourselves, we have no idea what I'm talking about. We don't have no idea what the higher self is, what your authentic self is. We have no idea. You see, God has created you in a mode of excellence. You have God's spirit in you, through you, about you. Yeah. So that self that's the Khalifa, that self that is the manager of the old earth and everything you see, that self there that's good, wants nothing but good, that's the self we are to trust. And that self resides within you. Go in the mirror. You should go in the mirror right now. Look at yourself and just, I thank you, God, for creating what I'm looking at right now. You're in me, all about me. Yes, I feel your presence. I trust the self that you're residing in. I trust that self. Yeah. Basically, you're saying you're trusting God. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. So it's very important to understand this. So that's why, you know, we have impatience with ourselves and we have a mistrust, because you're so used to dealing with the dark self. So used to it. Yeah, for sure. That's why it's hard to make that switch, you know. But that's why we have to know and start recognizing the higher self. It's wonderful. When you go outside and you see the grass, you see the trees, you see kids playing, huh? You see the planes in the air, you see the fruit. Life is going through all those things. That same life going through the trees, the flowers, the birds, that same life is in you. That's God flowing through all of creation. It's going right through you also. And we are to feel a harmony, a sense of, you know, alignment with all that. Yeah. Like your relatives. We should look at the birds and feel we're related. Yeah, it's the same energy force going through it. So if we do it more often, every day, we'll start getting a sense of our relatedness, our oneness. In Islam, we call it Tawheed. And our oneness, we'll see that. So then you can start trusting in yourself, because now you know what self you are trusting. Got that? Yeah. So where do you start? It starts in a quiet place, where you won't be disturbed, where you can cry out, shout, vent, and plead humbly without any outside distractions. Quiet contemplation, prayer, meditation, deep breathing. Yes. And solemn reflection is a great daily habit. You will find that your anxiety and impatience levels start to decrease. And then you will discover contentment with yourself that you probably never before realized. Some of our problems with these principles that I've been talking about for quite a while, and with life in general, are self-induced. Yeah. We're so used to life, you know. We're so used to it. If a drowning person panics and fights his rescuer, he may die. If he fights long enough, hard enough, he surely will. Maybe what we need to do is stop struggling and let someone help us out of the deep water we put ourselves into. Maybe we should let go and float, or let the tide take us toward the shore of safety. Now, doesn't this make more sense? Wake up. See, we've been trained to go against ourselves. Like, we've been trained for self-destruction, actually. There's another way to live life. Yeah. All right, now, the Southern principle. And this has everything to do with a happy, healthy marriage. Everything. We humbly and submissively ask God to remove our shortcomings. I'll say it again. Principle 7. We humbly and submissively ask God to remove our shortcomings. We've got to talk about humility. We want to break everything down. We want to make sure everybody understands the definitions and we're on the same page of understanding. Yeah, for sure. Okay? Very, very important. All right? So, humility. What is humility? Everybody talks about it. You got to be humble. You got to humble yourself before God. You know, the humble ones are the ones that God favors. We hear all these things. Now, what does that really mean? Humility means, quote, the state or quality of being humble of mind or spirit, absence of pride or self-assertion. That's one definition, end quote. Humble is further described, another quote, to reduce arrogance and self-dependence, to make meek and be submissive to the divine will. Humility is as much a part of staying clean and sober as breathing is a part of being alive. Yep, a lot of y'all got addicted mates. You might be one. I'm talking to you. I'm also talking to those who are like the abused also, and their little ego-centered lives. Because ego is your God. Yeah, for sure. As our addiction progressed, many of us lost much of our humility while devoting ourselves to the getting and using. All other needs became secondary. We only wanted to satisfy our basic desires. Now, in the Southern principle, we humbly ask God to erase these shortcomings from us entirely. You see, our shortcomings are the result or the behavior part of our character defects. Now, I talked about that before, the character defects. Yeah, for example, our character defect might be kleptomania. We have this spirit inside, you know, that wants and compels us to steal. We get a thrill out of doing this act and not getting caught. Whoa. Our shortcoming is actual doing that act, stealing and violating someone else's property. Well, once this shortcoming is removed, we take on a new thrill of pleasing God by doing what is honest. We now have a replacement that works for us instead of against us. Get it? Okay. I'm trying to take this real slow so we can digest it. You know, when you eat something, you put something in your mouth that's too big, you spit it out, you chew it, and you get so tired, you wind up spitting it out anyway. You know? So I'm trying to take this, you know, slowly so we can get this, okay? Very important. All right. Now, I'll give you a quote from that. I think I ended on this last week. From Brother Zaid Imani from the Malati Islami group, okay? Which is a wonderful, wonderful group. He says, before now, we have often made unreasonable demands upon ourselves, upon others, and upon Allah. The difference between a demand and a simple request becomes plain in this particular step or principle. It is here that we make the change in our attitude, which permits us, with humility as our guide, to move out from ourselves towards Allah and others. See, if a degree of humility could enable us to find the grace by which such a deadly obsession, such as using, could be banished, then there must be hope of having the same result with other problems and situations in our life. Wow, again, that was Zaid Imani. Praise Allah for him and his work. In order for our defects to really dissipate, we need a strong, solid picture of our life without these ill behaviors. I'm telling you, that is so important. We have when two people get married, we have two different images of marriage. He has his image, she has her image. And they're assuming the other person shares the same image. In his mind, she's going to do so and so and so and thus and such, and be wonderful and happy doing it. In her mind, he's going to be doing such and such and such and such. And he's going to be happy doing it to please her. Well, find out that he doesn't do it, and she gets mad at him for not fulfilling the image that she has in her mind. And he gets mad with her, you know, thinking that, well, what kind of home training did you have for not fulfilling the image that he has, or he created, or he was conditioned to create in his mind. So we go into these relationships with different images, marriage images. You see? So that's the problem. That's why you should have clean discussions beforehand. What's your image? What's your image? And you share those things, okay? Yeah, share them. Now, what probably will happen, if you do share them, you'll compromise here and they shave this off, she'll shave that off, she'll put this on, he'll put that on, and you'll adjust it so that you have a shared image. Yeah, for sure. And also, when we get so inundated in darkness, you know, you might have been married three or four times, you got problems with your first ex, second ex, third ex, fourth ex, and all these things are burdening you, you carry these things, you know. You don't see your life without these problems. You don't see your life in joy and happiness because you had so many of the opposite in your life. Well, in order to have the good marriage, in order to have the life that you really want, you got to see yourself, enjoy yourself, bask in the new life in your mind. You got to really be happy, enjoy, and laugh and have a good time. Watch comedies. Yeah. Yeah. So you ask yourself, what will your life look like? These are questions you got to ask yourself. What kinds of activities will you be engaged in now that those evil acts have vanished? See? What kind of person will you now be known as? If a monitoring bird above could give a report on you, what would that report describe? This is why visualization exercises are the best way to speed up the transformation process. You need to have life-giving deeds that you are engaged in on a regular basis. So, what will be those deeds? What people are going to benefit from your new charitable nature? What will be in your good deeds diary that you are writing for yourself to keep track of? When that picture is solid in your mind, then you have produced the seed that will sprout forth the true picture of your actual life, the true picture of your actual life. Remember, true goals are realized first from the firm belief in the picture in your mind. Oh, yes. In other words, you produce the good and the bad in your life from your own belief system inside. I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't achieve that. I can't get that kind of job. I can't have that kind of person. She's too fine. She'll never like me. Huh? Now you can see that it is easy to ask God to remove our shortcomings because now we have healthy replacements for them all. Now see, I'm telling you, you have to get that. You have to get, like when I was talking about the character defect. I was just talking about jealousy and self-pity and resentment and rage and because we all know them. Yeah, I understand that one. No, I was showing you what lavas have, what to get rid of, and what to replace it with. It's all about replacement. Just like going through the 12 principles of recovery. I went through it. You know, when you clean up, you got to replace that. You got to replace that drive, the hunger, that need with something. Yeah. I replaced all the dope I use with Allah, with Almighty God. Having God-centered life now instead of an ego-centered life. That's what you got to do also. You know? But that's what I'm saying. It's easy to ask God to remove our shortcomings when you have healthy replacements. It is harder to ask for those old behaviors that we have grown accustomed to all these years to all of a sudden be gone out of our lives without having some replacement. Now we, with God's help, are pushing them out of our lives completely. Yeah, without reservations. Yeah. We are now okay with ourselves, remember the higher self, because we have God in our corner. That's so important. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't want. Focus on the life you want, the life of your desire. Talk about the house you're going to be in. If you like, you know, if you would like a three-bedroom, two-bedroom house, a nice yard, say, I'm living in a wonderful three-bedroom, two-bedroom house, giant, nice yard. Just say it now. Life is wonderful. Loving wife, loving husband, get along fine. We love seeing one another. We help one another. We got each other's back. We're the garment for one another. Start saying these things now, and then you will see some of it start to come into your life. Talk about what you want. Change your self-talk. Yes, make it positive. Absolutely. All right. Now we're on principle 8. What does this say? We are to make a list of all people we have harmed, and we are willing to make amends to them all. We are to make a list of all people we have harmed, and we are willing to make amends to them all. Now, of course, like you know, I'm trying to, I'm intending to use these principles as it applies to preparing and repairing and improving relationships. Okay? Real important. And this particular one is not a law relation itself. If you need to forgive someone, the energy of unforgiveness comes into your marriage. And that can affect your marriage, the quality of your marriage. Because you're still carrying a burden. If you're mad at someone, you know, cause they didn't pay a debt back when you were 12 years old, bring that into the marriage, you're going to find some emotional and spiritual blocks for you. Yeah, yeah. Or if you tagged someone and didn't say you're sorry for it, the same thing can come into your marriage and cause some blocks for you. Yeah, for sure. So in that way, it's related. Okay? Very important to understand that. So if there's someone that you need to write or talk to, and you know, it's all about reconciling your life, you know, making amends and going into a marriage with a clean slate. Or if you're in a marriage, you know, just clean it up. Work on cleaning it up. If you got to forgive people and this kind of thing, or someone harmed you, just forgive them, let them go. You know, there are a lot of levels of forgiveness. We know this looking at in our own scripture. A lot of levels. The one I'm talking about now is when we actually acknowledge the hurt. We bless those people who cause harm to us and let them go. So they do not become a part of our lives. Their energy is not a burden on us anymore. Just the thought of certain people make your heart race. Blood pressure goes up. And say, man, if they're around right now, I break their nose. I do something to them. You know, that energy harms you. They don't care. They're going about their merry lives. So we have to let go of all that harmful energy that we have attached to those people. Okay? Let them go. All right? Very, very important. Okay? All right. So in this particular principle, I'm going to skip through this one here. You see, and I will say one thing about forgiveness. Sometimes we don't put God on the list, and we're looking at a list of people that we have to our forgiveness list. We have to ask God to forgive us for things we have done, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll keep that in mind. And that's very important. All right? So moving on. Now, Zaid Imani has another quote I want to mention here. Zaid Imani. He says, "It is paramount that we extract from our examination personal relationships every bit of information about our own behavior as possible. Thoughtful reflection upon personal relations can deepen our insight. Many of our damaging emotional conflicts persist below the level of consciousness. Our unhealthy relationships have given our emotions an unhealthy twist. This has discolored our personalities and altered our lives." Very, very important. Very important. See, you can't resent people. See, resentment against another human being binds us to that person emotionally and mentally. Absolutely. We are tied to the very person we feel we hate. The one person in the world whom we dislike is the very one to whom we attach ourselves with a powerful hook. Did you know this? We are drawn to that which we fear and despise. Please write that down. We are pulled into that very source of our pain. Oof, that's very important. That's very important. This has a lot to do with having a clean slate into a marriage. Keep in mind that this eighth principle is about preparing our minds to face these people and rectify our troubled past. So we have to be tuned into the forgiveness channel of ourselves and others, as this will break the negative bonds we have had through our resentments. This relieves us of the bondage of our old negative attitudes and gives us the freedom to relate to others comfortably without defensiveness, phoniness, or suspicion. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. Some of us have said to ourselves, and possibly others, that we have an inferiority complex. Oh my God. Lack self-confidence and self-esteem. We're never allowed to express ourselves honestly, or we're oppressed emotionally. Now, I fit that category. I was like that when I was a child. You see? Yeah. Now, see, if you're holding on to that, any of those areas, that affects the marriage too. I'll say it again. Some of you have admitted to yourselves that you have an inferiority complex, lack of self-confidence, and self-esteem. And were never allowed to express yourselves honestly, or were oppressed emotionally. Very, very important to understand this. These are all symptomatic expressions of a damaged personality, and much of that damage was self-inflicted. Do you know that when we realize that we are capable of change, we then know that this reality is the best possible way of making amends to ourselves. As we become more tolerant and forgiving, less rigid and judgmental, we will begin to realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. We are beginning to experience real changes in our viewpoints, attitudes, and beliefs that are being made ready to become more active in the reconciliation process. And you got to reconcile. You got to have a clean slate. Man, oh yes. All right. We're going to take a small pause. We have a caller on 908-463. You're on the air, 908.
Yes, I thank you, and peace be on you, and assalamu alaikum to you. I'm enjoying the program, and I think about the many times I was just told to shut up when I was growing up, and I think about stuff and feeling. They tell you don't even express what you're feeling. It took me many years to deal with that, and I had to stuff my feelings. So I'm enjoying the program, and I'm telling you, I'm noticing our numbers are growing, and I want everybody that's on this program to tell 10 people the missing link in among African-American people in particular, and American people in general, is that they are emotionally clogged up. And that's the bigger problem in the Imam Muhammad's community. We have the right teachings, right concepts, but we're emotionally clogged. We've been shut down. We don't know how to express ourselves. We don't know how to listen to people. And I also want to take this opportunity to thank you who have supported me in my Imam Alfred Muhammad's prostate cancer drive. Because I just got the message from my physician, Dr. S.C. Flowers, Maplewood, New Jersey, that said how much my my supplementation will cost me, $1,400 in prostate cancer. I want to tell you, if you go on the internet and look up, you'll find out that there's a treatment called mistletoe treatment. It is proven even effective against pancreatic cancer. But the problem is that that cancer is not, that cancer treatment that is not a direct result of, it is not, it's not something that can actually pay for by the insurance. So I appreciate y'all's donation that donated to GoFundMe.com, Imam Alfred Muhammad's Cancer Fund. I think it's Alfred Muhammad's Cancer Fund. Or you can send donations to me, Imam Alfred Muhammad, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07036. I thank you so much. Thank you again. Nazim Rashid is doing a stellar job to help reconnect us to ourselves.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, I wanted to add to that. I wanted to, you know, thank Imam Alfred Muhammad who for allowing me to have this slot here. And it's very important for those of us in this missionary kind of work, this work of serving humanity, serving God and humanity, and making a difference in the world. We are the real soldiers out here. We're out here, and we're not trying to pat ourselves on the back. We want others to join us in this effort to remake the world. And we're doing it. We're doing it. We're doing it. We want others to join us also. So please, donate to the show. Donate to my efforts, cloudsofabundance.com. And be a part of this process of change. We're change agents. And we are doing it. We're doing it right now. Matter of fact, on my show, I have a lot of hits from Brazil right now. Brazil is getting turned on by what I've been delivering. It's amazing, you know. So who knows? We might be starting a revolution in Singapore, you know, an emotional and spiritual revolution.
If you would let people in Brazil know about that you're on Wednesday, because we want to reach. We are really targeting. From Rio de Janeiro all the way up to Halifax, Nova Scotia, particularly those people in the Western Hemisphere.
All right.
And so, but we've targeted everybody in the world. We want humanity to be reconnected. But we're particularly interested in people recovering from the effects of slavery. Thank you.
Right. Exactly. Right. Exactly. For sure. We want that. But then again, if somebody from Singapore says, my life has changed, I say, praise God. Alhamdulillah, we say, praise God. Because hey, if you get the message and your life has changed, you know, God gets the credit anyway, and we're just the messenger, so it's okay. It's okay. Now, we want folks who come through the middle passage to get clapped off. You know, I'm a team player. Imam Alpha is a team player. So we want our team to get it for sure. However, if others get some benefit, yes, it's okay. It's all good. It's for you. Our cup runs over, and it's for everybody. Everybody can drink from our water trough, so to speak. That's how we are. Right. Thank you again, Imam Alfred. Isn't that right?
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir. Yeah, I appreciate that. So we want to make sure everybody knows that. So we don't have any kind of bias situation. We don't want to have an exclusive message. Ours is inclusive. It's for everybody. Because everybody has some problems and so forth, so you want to address those things, you know, for sure. And so that's how it is, though. We don't want, you know, it seems like we're just for one particular set of people or one particular set of community. We're for everybody, you know, but we know who needs it the most. And I have no problem saying that. Right. And as we know, as we strengthen marriages and bonds out here, don't you know that from a spiritual perspective, Satan, we say Shaitan, Satan's job is over with. He can't do anything. His greatest joy is to put a wedge between husband and wife. His greatest joy. Greatest joy. So, you know, right now, he's having a heyday. He's partying every day. Yeah, he knows every time there's a wedding bells being sounded, he said, that's like dinner to him. Okay, good. Let me feast on this one. And most of the time, he wins. Because people are focused on the exterior instead of the interior. They're focused on all the so-called joy and wedding gowns and bridal parties and $1,000 spent on the wedding. They have no clue how to be connected spiritually. You see. And Satan loves that. So I wanted to put that out there too. You know? Okay. Praise be to God. We're having a good time here today. All right. So, we're talking about the 12 principles and how they relate to these healthy marriages. Okay? All right. Now you got to please, the message I want to put out there, we have to have a reconciled life. Huh? We're operating from damage from the past. We're broken people with a broken past, from broken parents. You know? I'm saying that we need to construct different images of our parents. Yeah. When I say different images, I'm talking about images that you create. If your mother didn't treat you right, she didn't do the right things, you create another one. If your father didn't do the right things, you create another one. I call it my virtual family. You create your virtual family. How do you do that? Look at all the things you would love to have heard, all the things you wanted from your parents. You know, all the positive romantic, even romantic scenes you wanted to see between your mother and your father. And you create it in your mind and love that. And as you love that and you feel good about that, watch, God will attract you or cause an attraction that you actually run into some pioneers who actually have all those characteristics. It happened to me when I was in California. Yeah, there was a pioneer, a couple that took me in. And this sister, you know, she and her husband, they had all the characteristics that I would love to have seen in my own mother. Yeah, I loved them. Loved them now. They both returned to God. I think about them every day. Every day. So this is how we do that. We create the images from our past for one being broken to the ones who are solid and wonderful. That's how we do it. That's how we start a process. And then you can become the mentor to your child's self, as my book talks about. That's later on, a later development. But you can do it. You got to get the book. All right, principle 9. We go on. We intend to make direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so or bring harm to them, ourselves, or others. Okay. Now, like I said, you know, I'm looking at the ones that the ideas that are directly attached to marriages. And now I'm going to skip over this here, but I want people to get this because, you know, you never know what shoe fits. A lot of you are going to drug recovery right now. You're going through it. If it's not drugs, it's abusive behavior, you know, ego-centered lives. So in that case, go through it. In that case, when I say you intend to make direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so or bring harm to them, yourself, or others, you do just that. You know, if you left behind the human wreckage, hateful, resentful behaviors, you need to make amends. You have to forgive people. You have to go back and take care of all the harm you have caused. Yeah. You might say, well, that's in the past. Forget about it. No, it's not, because you still think about it now. The negative effect, the residue, is still on you now and affecting your life right now. Thus, it's going to affect your marriage. Yeah. So it's very important to do that. Do that. Very important to do that. You see? Yeah. So very important. Now, for those who where this shoe fits, I'll expound on this. Okay? I'll do this. We make amends to the best of our ability. Sometimes the only amend you can make is to stay clean and sober. We are no longer making a mess in society as a result of our using or abusing. The tremendous burden is lifted from us when we actually sit down, face family and friends we had harmed. We then discuss, from our perspective, what we had done and how we are removing, with the help of God, those defects in action from us, knowing the harm they all caused. Yeah, we got to humble ourselves. Remember those saying, actions speak louder than words? Well, it is through a change in behavior, a change in our pattern of actions, a consistent way of living that convinces others and ourselves that a true change has taken place and new habits have now formed. Now, are you acting on new habits? Ask yourself that. You know if you are or not, if you're backsliding because it's all familiar to you. Yeah. It is not very challenging to acknowledge wrongdoing towards someone. It's not, no. It can be very challenging to verbally apologize to family members, friends, and past and present associates. Yeah. The real challenge and the ultimate test will always be a new habitual way of acting others. Oh, yeah. You learn by the consistency. What do you do on a regular basis in this area? Now, the key phrase here is a new habitual way of acting. How long? Tell me. How long does it take before a new way of acting is considered a new habitual way of acting? Well, in the traditional Alcoholic Anonymous model of recovery, a sponsor is someone who has been clean and sober and living a completely different way of life for 3 months consecutively. In the classes and workshops that I have conducted, I have taught that you cannot sponsor anyone unless you have at least 12 months of a clean and sober, morally upright, healthy model of behavior, and you are able to teach and model the 12 principles, conviction, and purpose. Now, of course, you will never reach the point of being done with forming new habits and done with thinking about new ways of demonstrating the clean, faith-filled lifestyle. This is a lifelong journey and commitment you have made with God and yourself. So it never ends. You will have one great task after another and will always be on the lookout for new deeds to be done, which will demonstrate your clean and charitable lifestyle. Now, can you say that you can do 12 months of leading a clean and sober life, not abusing anybody? Can you do that? Leading a morally upright life, healthy model of behavior? Can you do that? You might say, well, I can do 3 weeks. Well, then 3 weeks is your limit right now. You got a lot of work to do. You know, and if that's the case, please do not get married. If you're already single and you're thinking about getting married, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Stay single. Stay single until you can actually get through this. Because I'm telling you, if you run over people in the past and get married, you might run over your wife, or vice versa. You might run over your husband. Yeah, because you carry these behaviors with you. You don't leave them at the doorstep. You don't leave them in the past. Or because you say you're going to do it, they're attached to you. And it's going to be attached until you consciously forgive and let go. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So this is very, very important to understand this. Remember, it's not what you're saying, it's what you're doing. Remember, I talked about the 93/7 principle of communication. Remember I talked about it before? The 93/7 principle of communication. All right, here it is. 93% of real communication is through your presentation, meaning your body language and your behavior, where only 7% of what is actually permeating the other person's receptive mind is through your words. In other words, people don't put much weight in what you're saying, only what you actually do. Y'all know this already. It is in the doing that makes the difference between the other person getting it and not getting it. So, you can apologize and apologize, apologize and apologize. But if your behavior does not match your words, your apologies are a waste of everybody's time and energy. Apologies are good and necessary, but your plan for making amends has to formally include a complete change of behavior and firm intentions of making new patterns and forming new long-term habits. Now, sisters, please have this in mind when you got a fiancé and he tells you about his past and you ask him, well, have you letting that go? Have you let that go? And he says, yes. Watch him. Take note. See if his new pattern of behavior is consistent with what he's saying. Yeah, consistent. Where's congruency? See if he's congruent with his words. It's so important to have that in mind. So you are really intending to transform into a completely new individual with new desires, motives, and needs. See, this is really the best way to make amends to God and society as a whole. Yeah. Now, society can count on you to be an abundant source for others and to be an example of love, compassion, and healthy production. Yeah, society can depend on you. Steph said, oh my God, here he comes. Look out. Yeah. Yeah. We have to be very careful as we arrange our list of folks whom we ran over during our intoxication rampage. Some of them may be still nursing those wounds we left behind. Oh, yeah. Others might be holding a grudge against us. Others might be in different relationships now, and the reminder of our past history with them might disturb their present circumstances. This is why I stated in this principle, when to do so would bring harm to them, ourselves, or others. So if there's any possibility of new hurt or embarrassment to them, we would choose to leave them alone. Pray for their forgiveness and yours. Amend your life and move on. Yeah, for sure. Okay? Very important. I hope you're getting this. There's so much. This is why this is the installment of 18 now. There's so much, to having a healthy, happy marriage, And I've said before, we see images on TV, like the Cosby Show or those happy, marriage shows. You say to yourself, that's only Hollywood. That never happens in real life. People don't agree. They don't smile that much to one another. They're not that happy. No one's happy like that. How about bills? How about, the child development stage where they get on your nerves, you curse them all out. How about all those real things? That's real, brother. That's real. Well, happiness is also real. Having a house with no profanity, having a house with no drinking, smoking, having a house with no arguments, no where you're yelling and verbally abusive to one another. Having a house with all those things, that's also real, brother and sister. It's also real. My house is like that. Yeah, my mother's house is like that. That's also real. You might say, not real in my world. Well, change your world. Your world is created by your past conditioning. Change your world. Change your mind. See? Change your mind, you change your time. We create different images, we have different results. So those things are real. It's all about choice. What choice? What are you going to do? You might say, well, I never saw it before. I said before, we create new images in our mind. Yes, we do that. Yeah. And then we find that we have, a very, very time in life. Things just flow. You know, so that's what I'm saying. You know, keep that in mind. It's very real. But we got to make it real in our lives by our consistent new behavior. Okay? All right, got that? Okay. Very important. All right, selfish activities and thoughts do not interest us anymore. See, remember, we're into a new life now. Through this amending process, we now find new love in serving the good in others. See, you got new joy, new ways of having fun. We now get joy and emotional satisfaction from helping other people find their way in life, helping them discover and enjoy emotional balance, assisting them in health and wealth attraction, and being there for them when the tides of their life turn against them. Yeah. You be that tall lighthouse. Yeah. Strong, can withstand any kind of wave that comes along. Has that beacon of light going out there for people who need to find the way back home. Whew. See, the spirit of addiction and death is always lurking around waiting for the opportunity to strike again. So we have to be sensitive to feelings of resistance and rebelliousness. It has a lot to do with marriages. Don't think I'm off track here. At any stage of this transformative process, those old familiar voices might and probably will call out to you, telling you that you don't need to go through all that fuss and bother. Those other people won't appreciate what you are doing anyway. You are wasting your time and energy. And besides, it will take a long, long, long time to change, and you just might not like what you're going to become. What will you be like? Who will be your friends? Whom can you trust? Where will be your real support out there? Feelings of resistance, call out for help. Call your sponsor. Go to a support group meeting. Call a brother or sister you know is solid, emotionally solid. Call an imam. Call your pastor. Call somebody who you can trust and feel you can be vulnerable with. Call somebody. Pray and meditate for the right guidance and protection. When those feelings of resistance make themselves known to you, know that those feelings are those subtle voices of the spirit of addiction trying to hold on to you. Resist. Resist that energy pull and go strongly the other way toward life and freedom. Oh, yes. Transforming your life is a very conscious activity which takes a strong, consistent effort on your part. Yeah. You must face your fears or your fears will control you on one level or another. Making your list of people, there might be some person or persons that you don't want to put on your list who really need to be at the top of your list. These are the ones that made you so mad or you hurt so badly that you, one, either can't or won't forgive them, and you can't or won't allow that wound to heal, or you don't think they will ever forgive you and don't want to ever be reminded of you again in life. So consequently, you don't include them on your list. I say it again. You know, this is for, addictions and codependency. Also for those who are thinking about getting married and you got some issues in the past that are preventing you from having the life you've always wanted, the emotional life you wanted, the clarity you've always wanted. Yeah. It's better to have a clean head, you know, like when you have a headache and, you know, you don't feel you're thinking right. When the headache is gone, you feel so much better, don't you? You feel so much better. You know? Yeah. So when there are people that you don't want on the list, you know, look, that's the wrong move. In this process of mending your life, you are freeing yourself of the bondage of your self-inflictions. Two of those self-inflictions are old, self-centered, ego-driven anger and an under-par self-worth. When you don't feel worthy enough to be forgiven, you become your own slave master, beating you down. Every time you think you are okay, well, did you hear that? You are your own worst enemy. You feel you deserve the worst, the absolute worst out of life, and don't deserve to feel or be happy. Your fear is not knowing what is on the other side. And the other side of your old anger and the other side of your low self-worth. I was talking to brothers yesterday about this. You know? He's dealing with a relationship. He knows it's not healthy for him. He's afraid to make a change because he doesn't know what's on the other side. Doesn't know. That fear is keeping him in a very dysfunctional relationship, marriage. Yeah. So here when I say your fear is not knowing what is on the other side, just know that God is waiting for you there. Your blessings are there. Your rewards are there. Your new life is there. Your joy is there. Your happiness is there. Your health is there. Your connectedness to God is there. So why hold on to a relationship that is not working? Why hold on to the old anger that's not working? Why hold on to old cultural norms that's not working for you? Stop it. Let it go. Instead of thinking about the fear of not knowing what's going to happen when you do that, think about the joy you're going to receive when you do let it go. See? Your promise is after the release. Got that? Your promise is after the release. So you're going to hold on and not get your blessing, or let go and invite the blessing, knowing that the blessing is already yours. Yes, 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 yes. Yeah. Don't let fear run your life. No, 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 no. Fear is keeping you right where you are. Don't do that. Don't do that. You know? It's like, you know, you got your hand on the stove. You know? Somebody might ask you, why is your hand on the stove? Well, my mother pat her hand on the stove, so I put my hand on the stove. And you ask her, why did she put her hand on the stove? She says, well, my mother put her hand on the stove, so that's why I put my hand on the stove. So you know, you're burning and causing all kind of damage. You do it because that's what you're taught to do. That's what you saw in your life, so you decided to do the same thing. Damaging things to yourself. Stop it. Yes, 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 yes. I'm telling you. So as long as you allow yourself to be controlled by your fears, those fears will continue to rule your life. You see, the thoughts of those people are on your mind and are controlling you on one level or another and follow you wherever you go. Those thoughts will dictate what you are going to say. If you see those people, they also control how you feel internally by yourself when thoughts of those people surface and make themselves at home in your mind. So that's the question. Ask yourself, what are you giving a welcome mat to? What are you giving a welcome mat to? If you were giving a welcome mat to those old voices and old cultural norms, they feel comfortable right in the living room of your mind. You might say, how'd they get there? Well, you open the door, and not just open the door. You gave them a welcome mat, milk and cookies, and some lemonade. Hey, you did it. If you make it uncomfortable for them, you have a consistent pattern of behavior that dictates that you are wonderful with God, you know, as your pilot, and you being a co-pilot in your life. And by having this kind of mindset, they will not be welcome. They'll feel unwelcome. They'll go away. Yeah, 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 yeah. This is so important to understand this. You see? Oh, absolutely. Yeah. By confronting these people first, you are saying to yourself, if I can take care of this hard-to-do matter, then the rest of the folks on my list will be a piece of cake. I can do this. You now have gained a strength that you thought didn't exist for you. Your faith is telling you that God is doing for you what you couldn't do for yourself. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Very important. Very important. I hope everybody got this. Yeah, 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 yeah. Very important. Mature wrongs might be an obvious area that should be amended if possible, such as paying a back debt or correcting old extravagance or stingy habits. But sometimes we overlook the importance of correcting moral wrongs. Moral wrongs. Hear this. Believe it or not, we are all examples, and we need to acknowledge this point. Someone or some people out there somewhere is and has been noticing your behavior and how you conduct yourself with others. Oh, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, you are influencing them pro or con. You know, someone's always watching you. Knowing this, we want to give the very best example. Maybe in the past, you know, your example caused young ones to stray from the healthy path to one of destruction and addiction. Maybe in the past, you gave bad impressions to the ones you loved as well as your colleagues and associates. Mm-hmm. Maybe your self-centeredness contributed to your neglecting the needs of others. Many children have been neglected when mom and dad were absent behind an intoxicated binge or needed money was gone because it had to support the parents' habits first. Oh, yeah. Disappointments such as these examples in children can last their entire lifetime, affecting adversely their own relationships and family matters as they age. You see, these are all spiritual wrongs that need to be addressed. See, God, Almighty God, maintainer, sustainer of our life, creator of all the systems of knowledge, should have our focused time to be grateful, to reflect on all the good given to us. Yeah, ask for guidance. Pray for health and wealth. Be open for God's grace, mercy, and transforming energy. We should have focused time. I know we have, a lot of us have our, you know, our dictated times of prayer. For Muslims, we have five times of prayer. Besides that, because you can do that in 4 minutes and get up and go about your business. Take focused time to be grateful. Focused time to reflect on the good given to you. That's very important. And when you are using and abusing substances and people, you are not giving God proper attention and time. You see. So I include in this area the lack of self-development and not encouraging others to excel. Are you doing that? Personal development is so important for all of us to engage ourselves in on a daily basis. See, self-esteem is built up in this amending process. We feel good and better about ourselves when we accomplish our goals in general. See, when we atone, we feel good in the repairing process and reconciling ourselves with God again. Yeah. I'm going to put a pause right there. I'm going to stop right there. It's so important. Yeah, I know I was talking a lot about addictions and so forth. You might say, I'm not addicted, brother. I'm in issues like that. You know, of course, I was also saying the abuse problem. You might say, well, I don't abuse anybody. You know, I don't have that kind of issue. Well, I always say, you know, if the shoe fits, put it on. Don't be in denial either. Don't be in denial, please. You know, a lot of times the shoe does fit, but you don't want to put it on. You know? But in case it really doesn't fit, then that's the shoe you just don't have to wear. Then be empathic for those who do need that. Because believe me, I will hit a lot of areas that fit you exactly. I will do that. And I have done it already. But this is the 18th installment. I'm sure I've done a lot of that with you personally, brother, and you personally, sister. Okay? Very important, all right? Okay, I am Nazim Abdul-Rashid. Nazim Rashid, author, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. You can get the book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. My site, after the three W's, we have cloudsofabundance.com. Cloudsofabundance.com, all right? You can email me at nrbookclub@gmail.com. nrbookclub@gmail.com. Oh, my show, The Reconnected Show, every Saturday. The time has changed. I think it's 1 o'clock now, Eastern Standard Time. Yeah. It's called The Reconnected Show. I'm a host there, and I host different guests to come on talking about different areas of personal growth that we all need to better our lives. You can call 347-994-2524. Again, 347-994-2524. If you go online, after the three W's, we have Blog Talk blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. Again, blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. Okay? Yeah, we have a plenty of guests talking about different ways we can, you know, be better in our lives and be better for ourselves and others. It's all related. You know, it's all related. So I want everybody to get the message, all right, that we can be better, have better, do better. We have to want it, feel we deserve it, then we can have it, okay, for sure. All right? So I want to close out with what I call a reconnected creed that I created from the spirit of my book that you can have free if you email me. I want everybody to hear this and post this on your wall when you get the copy. Call it Reconnect the Creed. It goes like this. I can create, and I am creating a powerful, passionate, peaceful, positive, and productive life for myself. I have unimaginable abilities. I can do anything, acquire anything, be anything I want to be. Nothing is impossible for me. God, you created me. Excellence, by excellence, and through excellence. Fear resides in me, is a part of me, and is directing me constantly with me being the worthy co-pilot. Yes, all great opportunities and material gains are available for my use and enjoyment. I'll be great at anything I choose to do because that is the only position I can take that I will be satisfied with. Any and all problems I meet will be beneath me. I always have the ability to rise above my stresses and problems and come out a winner because I'm a natural winner and I love me for that. I can have the life I thought was only a dream with the accomplishment of my goal and joy in my soul. End quote. Whew. All right. So if you want a copy of that, email me at nrbookclub@gmail.com and I'll forward it to you. With that, I'll close the show out. I'll be back next week for part 19 with the improving, repairing, and preparing for marriages. 19. All right? With that, I'll leave you with the peace that only God has with you. Assalamu alaikum.